for the key to our survival, you must quest to the Sea of Monsters.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Take Me to Your Reader, discussing adapted science fiction at its best and worst. I'm Seth.
I'm James.
And I'm Colin.
And this time we're finishing off Percy Jackson, because of course we are, because it hasn't really been that long, I guess. but I think we recorded the previous episode like a week or two before the second season wrapped up.
Yes. Right.
And of course I remember everything that I said back then. And and then events transpired, and here we are, and our memories are super fresh of everything. And so that is what we are going to be doing. And if it seems we're a little scattered, it's only because we're a little scattered. It's the mist.
It's the disc golf.
Right. The disc golf mist. Yes. Disc golf mist.
Yeah. you know, last time when we did this, when we did the series, we did multiple episodes about it, where this time it's a little tougher to, unless we're like getting together to watch the entire thing together, right before recording or something, to kind of wrap up 8 episodes is a little more challenging, but it also just kind of lets us dwell on the high points of it, right? Like what it do well, what was a WTF kind of thing, you know, what did we think of the various things. So maybe we should start there, just sort of overall, what'd you think of season 2 of Percy Jackson?
Sea of Monsters,
yeah.
I think it's a lot more canonical than the movie.
Yes.
And so it stays pretty clean to the book. It does make several changes, which I think we can probably talk about.
Yeah.
And, I don't think we need to do a plot summary, because we did that in the previous episode.
Yeah.
So just as an overview, Grover is lost, and they are trying to find him, and he's in a place called the Sea of Monsters. And it turns out the Sea of Monsters is also where there's this magic item that will heal the tree that guards the camp. And so Percy and Clarice and Annabeth and Tyson all go on various quests to try and get the magic item and save Grover, or save Grover and get the magic item, depending on your priorities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and if that sounds like the plot of the book, it more or less is, right? Where you start with Tyson is already, not Tyson, Grover is already in trouble, right? And you go kind of from there. So overall thoughts, you said it, you know, a lot more canonical. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it?
I liked it.
Yeah. Okay.
I was a little curious as to the change, why they made the changes they made, because I don't think that it brought a lot to the story. But you know, we can talk about that when we get to, you know, particulars.
Yeah. No, about you, James?
Yeah, I liked it. I think I liked it better in the first season. It seemed a lot quicker and fast paced, and so it went a lot faster for me. Like, mm-hmm. I think Emily and I watched it in like one weekend, 4 episodes, one in each day.
Yeah.
Wow.
I enjoyed it a lot as well. And I think one of the sort of favors of the whole thing, in the context of when we talked about the book. The second book is a lot shorter than the first one.
Yeah.
And part of that, I think, is just down to the fact it doesn't have to introduce the world. It just drops you back into the world and, you know, drops in a new character and new quests, and we're off and running. And I think what the favor that the writing of it all kind of did was this gets to move the Uber plot forward, right? Not just... Here's some quests and stuff, but it gets to move the ball forward for the greater plot.
The series
plot. Yeah, the series plot. And where like in the movies, they just like didn't really do that. And they tried to ham-handedly do that in the second one.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I'm sure that Rick Riordan was licking his chops going, okay, look, we can do better in terms of dealing with the Kronos plot more properly. Even if there's some changes, because the Princess Andromeda, the Princess Andromeda stuff is more straight from the book. It was the movie that just had it like it being a yacht.
Yes.
Yeah. Budget cuts.
Right.
Well, I think they spent their money in other places.
Yeah. The movie. Yeah. And it was interesting. I was watching an interview with Rick Riordan and talking about, you know, revisiting this stuff after 20 years. Where, you know, he kind of took it as a opportunity to look at the stories and go, is there anything that I would do differently with while staying true to the story? And so when the context comes of, okay, well, there was a change here, why? And there's a lot of folks, you know, online who are just completely baffled by some of the changes and think that it means that, you know, everything's ruined. And I just don't understand that. I'm like, so we don't trust him at all?
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so among the three of us, if someone's going to gripe about
you were that guy, changes, right?
Yeah. I'm that guy. I'm wearing his underwear today.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing that none of us think there was anything ruined. You know,
it's more talking
it's
about
not
the
like
very,
the
very
Star
end.
Trek movies so, that don't exist.
Yeah, not, yeah let's yeah, not yeah. talk about those. Yeah. No, I mean, the one of the things that I got to enjoy from reading the books was every year Percy's school gets destroyed.
Right.
Yes. Every year, every single year. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Loved it. That didn't happen this year. Mm-hmm. Does it change the characterization or the plots or anything else?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Right. So let's talk about one of the first changes, and it's not really a change over the movie, and that's the introduction of Tyson.
Yeah.
Because you and I talked about this a little bit, and the way Tyson is described is, like, it's hard to look him in the face.
Right. Right?
Yeah. And I think Percy says something like, you know, I have no idea what color his eyes were. I'd never been able to look above his nose. And so to me, to adapt that would be hard. You would either have to show it from sort of like the Tyson POV or something, or spend a lot of money on CG making him look really weird.
Oh, now, hold on.
They could have had that big kid from the 8-bit Christmas film. That dude was goofy looking as hell.
I disagree with you because they spent a lot of money on CGI making him look like a Cyclops.
Yes.
If they had not spent any CGI in the beginning of the movie, he would have just looked like some normal person. And then, like, the mist could have cleared and you would have seen that he only actually had one eye.
Yes, but if he looked normal, then that would have been a change from the book.
No. Let me tell you why I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Sanderson wrote a series of books and all the characters are Asian, right? And that is all perfectly normal to them. And so it's not mentioned at all in the book.
Okay.
Okay. So Tyson, with two eyes, he looks perfectly normal. No one has to be, it never has to be pointed out to anybody. We're spoiled. We know what he's supposed to look like. He's a Cyclops. But if you show him with two eyes, it's a depiction of how he fits in and everything works. When you show him all the time with one eye, then something different is going on.
Right. My point is the book goes out of its way to say he didn't look normal. Even if everybody saw him with two eyes, showing a normal-looking kid with two eyes is not what the book portrays.
That's okay. It can be different from the book.
Yeah, yeah. But so I'm saying just that's why I think they avoided the whole thing, where they're just like, we don't need to do that.
Went straight to Cyclops.
And the other major difference with Tyson is he's pretty smart.
This Tyson is pretty smart.
This Tyson is pretty smart. And Cyclopes are smarter than you think in general, because that's one of the changes that I absolutely loved. I loved that Polyphemus was a really good antagonist.
Yeah.
Because he was smart.
Right.
The CGI for Tyson was pretty good. I like that he was a kind of a big kid too. You know, it doesn't hurt that the other kids are pretty small.
It was way better than the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 And you know, they didn't just be like, hey, mist spray, you know, right. Sunglasses.
Yeah.
So I still really love the cast. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that I was bummed right at the top of the first episode. There's voiceover and I'm like, oh, have we not figured out how to do this without this? And it was only in the first episode and the last episode. It bookended the season. And so at that point I was like, all right, I'll allow it. But the action scene going into the camp was really, really lame.
Oh, with the
Lastergonians or whatever.
Throwing the fireballs.
There was no kineticism to it. And I think it's a limitation of some of the actors. And I think particularly Annabeth. I noticed that in action scenes, if she was in them, they were not very good.
Oh.
Where there were other actors that were way better in their action scenes. You know, they were just, it seemed like they were just standing around holding weapons. And shields, cringing and not doing much.
You know, that's actually pretty I think that's a little realistic.
A little bit, but I don't think that's what they're going for.
No, and especially not for our three main characters, right? They're experienced, you know, adventurers, so to say, questers. Mm-hmm. They've been around the block a few times, especially Annabeth. Mm-hmm. So you think she would have been more nimble, more confident, more active?
Yeah, yeah. And in the scene where she sneaks up and stabs all the monsters so she can go along on the quest, I can't remember if that was in this one. I think it was. You know, that's like more her style, and it made more sense to me. The Tantalus was pretty great.
Tantalus was really cool. Yeah. And there, the special effects, I think, really shine with, you know, the food traveling away from him and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was fun stuff. If there's one thing that I saw people complain about, is like, this season is called The Sea of Monsters. How many monsters were actually in this season? And it wasn't that many. Where the book had a lot more of them. It seemed like it was in a hurry to get them past the monsters to whatever else they were doing.
Right.
I don't know how valid the criticism is.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the book, there's Scylla, Charybdis, Circe, Polyphemus, the sheep.
The Laestrygonians, the Stymphalian birds.
Well, the Stymphalian birds were at the camp, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And the giants were on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
but in the school. Yeah, yeah, in the right. sea itself. Mm-hmm. I think they were just, you know, the four or five ones that I mentioned. So.
Yeah, yeah. One of the changes that they made was about the Sea of Monsters that I did not really appreciate, but you know, whatever. You know, Clarice gets the quest, just like in the book, right?
Just like in the book.
And again, it's a problem of Clarice is a bit prettier than I picture a Clarice.
Right.
Monobrow, big jaw.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You know, I like the fact that she got the quest help from Ares, right, with the ironclad.
And all the dead people.
And all the dead people. And I love the stupid little joke about, like, what war are you from, you know, from the Civil War.
Wars,
from
the streaming wars.
The streaming wars. Yeah. The guy in the Blockbuster shirt. That was pretty funny.
You want to talk about the Fates?
You mean the cab ladies?
Yeah.
Oh.
The gray ladies.
The gray ladies? Go for it.
Yeah. That was handled very, very differently between the book and the series.
Okay. I don't remember that one.
So in the book, they hop into the cab in order to get back to the camp. Mm-hmm. In the series, his mom drives them back and they get out at the camp, but the cab shows up for some completely different reason.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, why make that change? Why does Percy's mom have to be in this? I know that they're pushing, I think that they're pushing the plot about the relationship between Percy and Annabeth. It shows up in the original series, and it's definitely being developed here where there's the whole question about, you know, trust between them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to be doing this together,
right.
But then she learns what the prophecy is, and so she can't allow him to come along on the quest. And
right.
Yeah.
And she's told to hide stuff from him, which isn't good in a friendship. Yeah, and there's that tension in between them.
Yeah.
Which just feels like stupid teenage tension,
right.
Drama.
It does.
Even if it is true to kind of in the book, there's some of that as well.
Yeah, but the whole, I don't think the romance is really, hasn't made itself clear yet at this stage
no.
of the book.
No, yeah, they're still pulling each other's hair.
Yeah, I mean, they're 13 yeah. maybe in the book now. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, in this, I think the actors are in their late teens.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. One of the bummers in terms of the Clarice portrayal is like that her whole crew kind of just ignores her for a while for reasons, just so she has to give a rousing speech about how she'll get their honor back for them, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure that she has that authority.
Right.
Well, by giving them a chance to serve her well, I think that was what.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't really seem to have that charisma as a character either.
Yeah, I think she's working on that,
and
that kind of brings her around to realizing the part about failing without friends, mm-hmm. Which, you know, I really like that. I mean, that's consistent to the book, I think the show does a good job of that about, like, maybe they're not friends, mm-hmm. but like she realizes that Percy's useful-ish.
Frenemies.
Whether they like each other or not, they really are on the same side.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like in that in this series, Tyson is shown to be good with his hands, too, right?
Yeah.
Where at some point, well, what have you made there? A bomb. And
yeah. Well, and he works on the steamship to help keep it afloat, but there's only so much even he can do. And,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was hoping the series would have had the cool little shield bracelet. That would have been rad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That exactly. Seems like something they could have done now with the effects, but
yeah. Yeah. And yeah,
I missed that.
Maybe we'll see that at some point. I don't know. Let's talk about Thalia, just because, you know, she's introduced in flashbacks. I love the fact that in the flashbacks, for the most part, they don't just de-age people, right? Like, Luke's kind of in the age that I feel like, this is 6 years ago, maybe should have cast a different actor. Mm. You know, Annabeth, they cast a different actor because she was supposed to be really, really young.
Right.
Right.
And I feel, was it in the series where they kind of get Grover off the hook? Because in the book, it kind of indicates that Grover got them discovered by the Cyclops that ended up attacking them when Thalia was killed. Where in this one, I think like Annabeth dropped something that Thalia had given to her and went back for it. And that's what got them caught.
Well, and introducing the entire... Yeah, I think it brings more drama into it with Thalia. You know, would she really have been on Luke's side or would she have been on Annabeth's side? Right. And I think they added enough story to show that she probably would have been on Luke's side.
Mm.
You know, her conflict with her dad and her dad turning into a tree as a punishment not to save her life. And
right. Yeah, and we definitely have to come back to that because that's the major change that everybody's talking about. I like the fact that, you know, like the writing spreads around some of the revelations about stuff and just gives different characters a chance to, I don't know, to not be good friends, but like to contribute to the plot, even if they didn't necessarily do it in the original, where it's when Clarice is kind of captured on the island, and Grover kind of talks through her prophecy with her and is like, oh, well, yeah, that doesn't mean that you're going to fail. It means you're going to fail without friends.
No friends is failure.
Right. Yeah.
Not fail and have no friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're going to suffer, but you're going to like it. Right.
Yeah.
Had to kind of like help translate the prophecy for her.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, my favorite thing is like Polyphemus. The effects look great. The voice performance is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just like the fact that he's like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm pretty savvy. and I'm actually pulling the strings here.
Right.
I mean, the golden...
Yeah.
Golden carpet strings.
The golden painted
fleece. Speaking of which, James, let's talk about the fleece in the room. Did it look fleecy enough to you for this one?
I mean, it kind of just looked like a... No, not really. It didn't look like a fleece, per se.
Oh, and this one, I thought it did, but...
Well...
It was the other one, it just
more looked so
like
than the movie.
Yes. Yeah, the movie, it just looked like a blanket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
Where this one, it, you know, looked like curly stuff. And like,
right.
I remember watching Jason and the Argonauts when I was a kid.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, the Harryhausen.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
I guess it did, yeah.
Still remember the skeleton.
It looked like the skin of a sheep, at least. It looked like the skin of a sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in unlike the movie.
But yeah. So let's talk about the actual Sea of Monsters, right? Because you have Charybdis and Scylla. Mm-hmm.
So the actual sea, not the metaphorical Sea of Monsters.
Right, right.
Like your silly criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
It's a different take on Circe.
Right, the hell spa thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Where, like, she's definitely manipulating heroes into staying there by giving them the false hope that, well, we have had people make it.
Right. I mean, you know? That kind of does track with her, though.
It does, yeah.
Her whole shtick is that she's lonely, right?
And so she's... Right, yeah. And I didn't think we were going to get to using the vitamins at all.
At
some point.
We did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I didn't love the sirens portion because this is an important thing for Annabeth, right? Mm-hmm. Where you get wiser if you listen to them, if you actually hear them, and they don't kill you. That's an important part, right? And so her trying to do that and Percy guarding her was important, and then her getting off was important as well. But because I think limitations of CG, I don't know, they just the change that they made there was, for some reason, Percy could resist them.
Well, I think his ears were still stopped up.
Were they?
Yeah. Now, granted, I'm retconning that because I know that's what happens in the book.
No, I don't think so. I think he was just tied to the mast.
Right.
Yeah. No, he was just tied to the mast. He wasn't. He didn't have his ears plugged up.
Right, but he had to go after her, right? Because there was the fake out of the
sirens
presenting themselves
that.
As Athena.
Right.
I thought his trick was actually pretty slick.
Oh, tying yourself to the mast.
Tying yourself to the boat, yeah. And so when it kept going, they got yanked right with him. But okay. I think to Seth's point, I see what you're saying. But I don't know.
I wanted the part where he rescues Annabeth but keeps her under the water so that the sound can't get to her.
Oh.
And until they're clear. And because he can breathe underwater, he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Where they didn't, and that's a complicated effects shot to do.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, it can't be any more complex than making them go inside Charybdis, which they didn't do in the book, which was not needed.
True.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's something else that I keep, in my head, I keep coming back to. So we know we have the Stephen King rule of thumb.
Yeah.
2-hour movie, 122 pages.
Right.
This book has a little bit more than 122 pages.
230 pages, I think.
Yeah.
But it's more like 120 pages of content.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. And so I'm trying to figure out how we had not quite 8 hours, probably like 7 hours. Maybe it's like
probably, yeah. Yeah, there were like 40-ish minute episodes, I think, right? So eight of them. Yeah,
so that'd be 320 minutes. So that's just 6 hours. So how did we expand a book that was maybe twice as long why isn't it, where did the extra 2 hours come from?
Right.
Because I can't think of too many things they added to it.
Right.
I think some of the scenes at the camp leading up to the camp were a little bit longer, but not 2 hours longer. And I miss the centaurs at the end too.
Yeah. This party pony deletion will not be, we cannot stand for this.
Party pony.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess they had the thing with Ares, right? Because Ares, they didn't have that in the book.
Oh, with Ares
and the giving the ship to
that's right. She just shows up when they're down.
She just shows up when they're in South Carolina. I think it was South Carolina or DC or something like that. They're somewhere down there. She just shows up right when they're in the. Oh yeah, they were in the Potomac, weren't they? If I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Washington DC. She just shows up and kind of rescues them from that.
Yeah.
So that's one part, I guess. Then there's like the parts with Zeus and Thalia.
Yeah, that was new. And then Percy's nightmares about Thalia, that's new.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was a nice job of just of seeding that idea, right? That who knows what the dreams mean, and it makes him a little nervous about the whole Thalia coming back.
Right.
I am.
Because now there is more than one daughter of the three or whatever, or child of the three for the prophecy, yeah. So now it's not just all alone. All on Percy.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about that because that's the big change that I've seen people really, really complain about. And just like, this ruins absolutely everything. And I understand it. I understand being upset about it. I don't understand saying this ruins everything. Because it's different from the arc set up in the book.
But in the book, they bring her back just the same, right?
They bring her back the same, right? I mean, and there's a couple changes.
If anything, I think it kind of pisses me off that they put it all on Percy, because even in the book, they're talking about how they don't know if there is any children of the three. And so when Percy shows up, all of a sudden he's the target of all this, the hatred, basically, of the prophecy. But there could be other ones that they don't know about any. They're being awfully presumptuous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll just wait in future books.
Come on, guys.
We need another one. So,
yeah. So screw those guys.
Yeah, but no. The thing that people are objecting to isn't the fact that Thalia came back. I mean, and there is a change there where it's like Luke says to Thalia or Percy, "Hey, you know, the fleece could heal Thalia's tree, which I poisoned."
Right.
as if that wasn't part of the plan. To begin with, which from reading the book, I mean, what do you think, Colin? The plan seemed to be poison the tree to make them make a quest for the golden fleece.
Yeah, to go get the fleece.
To go heal the tree, which will bring another pawn.
Oh no,
I don't think he had any.
I don't think he had any designs on healing the tree. No. I think he did it so they'll go do the quest to get the fleece, so then he could steal the fleece from the quester. Because this would be a whole lot easier for him to steal the fleece from the quester than trying to defeat Polyphemus.
But remember, there was that notion where Luke said something like, I would have given you the fleece when I was done with it.
Right, but that's because Kronos didn't tell him. There's the scene, in that same scene, I think there's three big things that happen.
That's right.
One is that he says, why didn't you tell me it would heal her? And then Kronos zaps him.
Yeah.
He gets this great big massive headache. And I think that's a great introduction to say that, you know, healing Kronos may be what Luke thinks that he wants, but it has consequences that he is not aware of and is, you know, swiftly learning about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then there's the further development about, I think in that they made the series stronger because in the book that never happens. The fleece goes straight to Thalia. Mm-hmm. She gets healed and everything is okay.
Yeah.
You know, this took the same route that the movie did. Mm-hmm. So then you get this great big epic battle trying to get the fleece back and blah, 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 blah. And
There's your other 2 hours.
That's it. There it is. They wanted a two towers kind of, you know, situation. Big battle at the camp.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Because there were battles going on, right? Because there were monster incursions all the time. But
yeah, but now the traitorous demigods are fighting the camp demigods.
Yeah, and they're right out there, right?
Yeah.
And
you learn about the traitorous members of the Ares cabin.
Right, right.
And I think that's a little preliminary, because I think, doesn't that have to happen again later on in the book?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Or in the series? So,
yeah.
In the book series.
Oh, so that means they're going to change that milestone.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe, or there's going to be another round of them or something. Or
I like the fact that the series is clearly saying, hey, by the way, if you were the front man for an evil god or demigod, they probably don't have your back. Nope. So maybe stop talking about how the Tao is doing, you know, and realize you're screwed. The fleece definitely gets a little more work, right? Because it's used to heal Annabeth. It's used to heal Percy. Right.
Yes.
Because Percy actually takes
like
a wound.
It's like a village bicycle up in there.
Everybody gets to ride it.
Yep.
Wait a minute. I just realized something.
What's that?
And I've read this book for years. The Golden Fleece heals things and puts it back in their original state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everything it touches, including Cyclopses, because it talked about how he had been damaged in his eye and couldn't see very well anymore.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't exactly draping it over his wound like a poultice.
Yeah.
But if he had, it might have restored his sight.
I guess he never used it.
Yeah. I said he was smart for a Cyclops.
Okay.
He might not have been aware of that knowledge. We don't know that.
Right, right.
Because he was using it to lure centaurs.
Satyrs.
Satyrs.
Yeah, yep.
That was his whole purpose. And he was,
food was more important than eyesight. Yeah.
I'm of a camp, maybe he just didn't have that knowledge, which is fair. Mm-hmm. You can be smart and not have knowledge.
Yeah, I guess. I loved the hearing and the voice imitating for both psychos that were in the story. That was pretty cool.
They did a good job with that, too, I thought.
Yeah.
In the series, I mean.
Yeah. Well, and then especially how it's not, you know, because Tyson can do it, then it's like, why can't Polyphemus? Right. And that just brings up a great set of scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it was Annabeth who mentioned to Luke that the fleece could heal Thalia. And I liked that. And that's a change because she hadn't figured out that, even though she's supposed to be the smart girl, right? I like if you got a smart character, let them make the logical leap.
Right.
And you know, just because it's not in the original, let them actually do that, because they're supposed to be smart. That is a thing that drives me absolutely crazy in books, when a supposedly smart character is dumber than I am.
That's hard, but I know also that people make mistakes.
But you know, like, I don't know, there's definitely some hard science fiction books where, like, uber smart character, I'm like, I mean, I figured this out 10 pages ago, bud.
Have you ever tried to be an astronaut?
I have not.
Maybe you should.
No,
not.
Nope. So yeah, let's see. The change of how Thalia became a tree. That's the major change that people are uptight about, right?
Right. Instead of being the noble Thalia who sacrifices her life to save her friends, she is the defiant Thalia who is turned into a tree by Zeus.
Right. Yeah, because Zeus is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what do we say?
She was being naughty.
You mean naughty?
Those of us that watch series one are already familiar with the fact.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, that,
at least he's consistent.
Yeah, yeah. Strict disciplinarians, those Olympians.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that the average rescue son don't take a dump without a plan, right? You know, like, I want to believe in the writers of this and Riot himself. That they have a reason that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be just strictly who does Thalia side with? Could be to enhance that, right? Because they started building up the,
right.
Wait, what if Thalia is a threat? Because that's like with Percy's dreams, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, buckle up.
Right? I have a question for you guys, since you've read further in the book series than I have.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something that ever comes out later on in the book series, that she got turned into the tree without dying?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Just checking. All right.
I mean, there's just what's in the first book and in this one, right? Where, yes, she was turned into the tree, and then the fleece
healed,
and she came back.
Right? And the whole story has been, you know, that she sacrificed herself. She died, and then Zeus
kind of honored her, right?
Yeah, honored her with the tree.
Yeah. So now
that part kind of confused me in the book though. So if she died and she's honored with this tree, why does putting the fleece on the tree turn her back into a person?
Plotting,
magic,
right? Okay,
yeah.
So the golden fleece kind of actually makes more sense in the series from that perspective, because she didn't actually die in the series, right? She's just turned into the tree.
She's in the process of dying, and Zeus turns her into a tree to preserve her life.
So she actually did.
Yeah. I'm just trying to untangle, like, what, and I do want to mention Courtney B. Vance as Zeus, because Lance Reddick passed away, which is a huge loss.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't try and go with somebody that had that same gravitas, because nobody else did. I would be interested to know if any of the makers of this are fans of DC Comics, because the way they kind of evoked him with his, I don't think he had a bowler hat, but it reminded me of
wasn't it a fedora?
Yeah, I think it was a fedora.
Yeah, he looked like a gangster.
Yeah, yeah, he kind of did.
That's what I thought.
But he looked like the presence, who's the in DC Comics is God.
Oh, sure.
Like the God.
Okay.
Not one of the gods, but like the actual Judeo-Christian deity of DC Comics universe.
Yahweh.
Overall. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And is usually represented as an old guy with a big walrus mustache and a bowler hat. And it just kind of reminded me of that.
Awesome.
But yeah, like I'm trying to untangle what is his plan here. He's like, he need to be on the right side of this prophecy. Well, what does that mean? and I mean, other than you got to be on our side.
Right.
Yes.
And so...
I would say the right side for him is his side.
Yes. Right? Yeah. He's like, look, young lady, you will obey me. So,
and he effectively removes her from the prophecy by turning her into a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. So then,
and her storyline is resolved in the next book, right?
I don't remember. But if her becoming not a tree would be a threat to Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you just not immediately turn her back into a tree?
It's a fair point.
So that's why I'm trying to figure out what's the plan here.
Oh, I think the quote from Hermes, which I absolutely loved, because one of the things I think the series does very well is it reminds us that Luke is worth caring about as a person, even if you don't agree with what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Hermes loves his son. He doesn't like what he's trying to do. He wants Percy to try and redeem him and stop him from what he's doing. And there is some of that goes on.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably see some more of it. And I think that Zeus not zapping Thalia again is for the same reason.
Mm.
He loves his daughter. And so even now, even though now she's a threat, and she's a bigger threat because you got turned into a tree when you didn't want to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And your best friend is now trying to awaken a Titan to overthrow her dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it brings more narrative and character relational tension into it, right?
Yeah.
Unless they make some absolutely gigantic changes, I don't think things are going to be different. I think it's just going to be a rougher spot getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's my thing about the change in general is like, it's a risk to deviate from the book in that major of a way.
Yeah.
To change the motives behind why she was turned into a tree and to fundamentally change her relationship with Zeus based on that, to emphasize things were not good. And so I really appreciate taking that kind of risk. And
that's kind of make it more interesting.
Yeah. And I'm trusting them to build interesting story out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, right? If you make an adaptation that is exactly the same, I think you lose the opportunity to surprise people with tweaks and changes. It's like, I used to be a chip designer.
Careful, Colin. Mm-hmm.
I know. And the guy that did most of my layout said, you can take any piece of layout and give it to a new layout designer and they can pull 10% out of the area. Now, granted, there's an absolute limit to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's this idea that as you learn and grow in your skill, you can almost always do things better than you could in the past.
Yeah.
And Mr. Riordan has been writing books like this for over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So we should, and he's the guy driving this. It's not some random screenwriter who might be very good or very bad. You just don't know. But he's at the helm here, and I think we ought to let him, you know.
Let him cook.
Yeah. Give him the reins. Let him see what he does.
Yeah.
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 It's been pretty good and fun so far.
Yeah. But, and it's interesting to see the reception of the second season is not as positive as the first.
Really? Is that all driven by the Thalia change or something else?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe the viewership numbers are down. I don't know. I saw lots of things saying, like, if it hadn't already been renewed, who knows? Maybe they wouldn't have renewed it. But it has, and I think they'd already begun production on season 3, which I think is great.
Well, I think there'll be a shorter time between the two.
Yeah.
And maybe that's one of the goals is they're figuring, you know, the first season did so well, but then there's a 2-year gap between the next season. You're going to lose some interest, some excitement.
Momentum, yeah.
With such huge gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to see they're bringing in season 3. Lots of exciting things happen in the third book.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, cool. There's little hints at future books where you're like, how is Luke teleporting? and book people are like, I think I know how he's moving around.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, should be good stuff. All right. Wrap it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, well, we should probably do a ranking.
Sure.
And let's go ahead and rank all three, the book, the movie, and the series.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and leave the movie at the bottom.
Yeah.
Kind of a toss between the series and the book, I guess. I liked both. But now that we've talked about it, I think I like the series seems a little bit more complex than the book did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so top to bottom, series, book, movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll say that James was 1/3 right. And I'll say book, series, movie.
Okay.
But Not going to make any arguments against the series. It's done really well. Yeah.
I'm going to agree with James. I think the fact of taking some of those risks makes it really interesting to me. And so I like that. And like you said, right, the making those changes makes it in some ways more interesting. Yeah. Not that you don't want to see something that's close to the story.
Well,
that you
I think Colin made a good argument for the change, actually. Yeah. Ironically.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. It's done really well. And so personally, while I wanted to hear Tyson say pretty pony and a few other things happen like that from the book, I'm not unhappy with what I saw at all. So.
Mm-hmm. Did we get the hippocampies? Happy hippocampi?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, that's
Rainbow.
We got one.
There was like one cryptic reference to Rainbow at some point. I was like, so this is going to happen. Yeah. I mean, they made some of the changes, like when Hermes showed up, right? He just gave him like a Zodiac to get to the
the
cruise ship.
Well, no, I think they had a Zodiac in the first one.
It was a boat. It was just a boat, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so where did Rainbow come in? Rainbow helped him get off the boat? No.
No, rescued him after the explosion, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Got him onto the island.
Yep, yep.
That's right, Tyson. Bye, Rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, Tyson did get to go toe-to-toe with Polyphemus, right? Right. Cyclops suplex, you know, which was awesome. So, yeah. Okay, so we are now caught up with things that came out in January for our February episode. And so we'll come back with something else. You want to talk about, there's a couple possibilities, right? We have to get ourselves to March because, mm-hmm, because Project Hail Mary is coming out. We got to do an episode on that.
March 20th.
Yeah.
Probably March 19th in certain shows, yeah, certain theaters.
But this is our February episode. So we don't have to do anything else.
Nope. Oh, well, you know, James and I have been doing some exploration of other adapted works that, yeah, have recently come out.
Yeah.
So we went and saw All You Need Is Kill, the anime, and we saw the first ever theater showing of the original Ursula K. Adaptation of Ursula K. Le Guin's The Lathe of Heaven.
I did not realize that was the case until Mr. Le Guin said that.
I hadn't realized that either. Although, I bet if I had read the webpage more carefully, it would have said that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not to spoil anything, if we record it, I'll explain it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that one would be an interesting one to do just because of the Northwest connection, right? I mean, there's lots of Northwest connections in like Dune, right?
Dude, it's not just a Northwest connection.
It's a Portland connection.
It's Portland. Yeah. They talk about the beautiful peak of Mount Hood in the book.
Yeah.
And so
the St. John's Bridge.
Yeah, the St. John's Bridge in Mount Hood. And that's our backyard.
Yeah, big time. Well, like in the first chapter, it mentions Macadam Avenue. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Drop down on that and go to the Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be a fun one to do just because we haven't done any of the Gwyn just because there really aren't adaptations.
Well, and those adaptations are so restricted. The second adaptation was so bad, I don't think we'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
And the first one is so encumbered by a license that there technically aren't any legal copies of it out on the internet or other places.
Right, right. It reminded me of the Star Wars special.
Yeah. Although they covered it for the showing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we get a chance, and we don't have somebody get knocked out for 2 weeks with an illness again, then maybe we'll reconvene and talk about rudimentary lathes of heaven.
Yeah.
I can only say rudimentary lathe because of Galaxy Quest. Is there a way you could make some kind of a rudimentary lathe?
Oh.
Great, Nick. Yep. Yeah, rudimentary lathe. So it was my band in high school.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we only played during shop, but
yeah. Your shop band.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Nice. All right. So let us know what you thought of the most recent season of Percy Jackson, if you're looking forward to season 3, and if you think that we should do an episode on The Lathe of Heaven. So I actually have read the book, so I will be ready for that. I will see if I can find an illicit copy of it to watch.
I mean, her son did say there, you know, you could probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, may the road rise up to meet you, and may the book always fall open to where you left off. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.